Well, it's good to be saved on a Thursday morning, isn't it? Amen. Thank the Lord for what we've felt and experienced and heard in these services this week. And the Lord is so gracious. I certainly covet your prayers this morning as we try to share the Word of God with you and want to be a help and a blessing if I can. I tell you, it's just been rich. My wife and I were just excited about getting to get away from home a few days and come up and be in the meeting, and my expectation has been met. The Lord has blessed, and I feel stirred, refreshed, revived, and I thank God for it. Would you open your Bibles with me to John's Gospel chapter number 20 for a few moments? The Gospel of John chapter number 20. I want to read a portion of Scripture here, and then we'll try to preach the message that God's put in our heart. In John chapter 20, don't you just love the Gospel of John? Amen. I love it. In John chapter number 20, and begin reading in verse number 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Amen. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Yes, and Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." And this will be our text and our thought today. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I'd like to try to preach for a few moments on I believe and am blessed. I believe and am blessed. I don't know about you, but when I read verse number 29, I believe the Lord was talking about me in this verse. I believe he knew me. Amen. He knew that I was going to be one of those believers. Let's read on. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe." Look why John says he wrote. "That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." In the Gospel of John, I want to give you a few little facts that might be a blessing to you and help us to get a little bit of the groundwork laid here. But in the Gospel of John, the word believe is found 98 times in our English Bible. Now, compare that to Matthew, where the word believe is found 10 times. The Gospel of Mark, it is found 10 times. And in the Gospel of Luke, it is found 9 times. But in the Gospel of John, 98 times. I think John wants us to believe, don't you? Amen. Well, what does he want us to believe on? Amen. I want to give you a few things here, and I'll try to be done and get out of the way. But number one, I want us to think about the object of our believing. You know, a lot of folks have got faith in Muhammad, faith in Buddha, and different things like that. And let me say it's not our faith that saves us. It is the object of our faith. There are people that's going to die and go to hell having faith in good works or church membership and things like that. But it is the object of our faith. When if you look at the Gospel of John, you find out that John was writing this epistle, or this gospel rather, in light of Gnosticism that was prevailing in his day. And this was a doctrine that was being taught, that there's no way that God could join himself to flesh. And they were denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the Gospel of John, being a later book of the Bible written, all of John's works are, John was writing to show that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. That's the reason he doesn't start with a genealogy like Matthew did and like Luke did, but he said, "In the beginning was the Word," amen, "and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." And he went on to say in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And so John's John's primary objective in writing the Gospel of John was to present the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that you and I and others might believe that He is the Son of God, and that believing we might have life, thank God. In John's early chapters, he lays out who the Lord Jesus is. In John chapter number 1 and verse 1, he says He's the Word of God. In John 1:29, he gives us the words of John the Baptist, where John was baptizing. And he said, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, amen, which taketh away the sin of the world. In John 1:41, Simon Andrew says that he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, amen. So He's the Word of God. He's the Lamb of God. He is the Messiah. In verse number 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. So in that first chapter, John begins to lay out the different characteristics or the different ways that we might know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But by the time you get down to our text in chapter number 40, Thomas, who was not there on that first Sunday evening after the resurrection of Jesus. And let me just say something right here. There's a lot of things you're going to miss if you don't go to church on Sunday night, amen. And Thomas missed it, amen. He had to wait a full week until he got the blessing that they'd been enjoying all week. So Thomas wasn't there, but he was this time. And this is what Thomas said when he seen the Lord. He said, My Lord. Now watch this, that personal pronoun, My God, amen. God, I love that. So it is the object of our faith. In the Gospel of John, we find out that John gives a witness as to who Jesus is. We know that Jesus, that matter of fact, there's seven witnesses throughout the Gospel of John as to the person of the Lord Jesus, the object of our faith. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the door. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the true vine. Seven I am statements of Jesus himself found in the Gospel of John. Jesus is bearing witness, a friend, that he is the Son of God. John the Baptist, the Bible said, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So there is the witness of John Baptist. And then there's the witness of Jesus' works, thank God. You'll find that in the Gospel of John, just as there are seven I ams of Jesus, there are seven works of Jesus in the Gospel of John. As a matter of fact, these seven miracles, only five of them are not recorded in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Only two of these seven miracles can be found in another gospel. And so seven times Jesus performs a miracle, and he does that to show that his works testify and witness as to who he is. And then there is the witness of the Father, amen, in John 5:37. And on two occasions in the life of Jesus, God spoke out of heaven. Down there when John was baptizing him, God spoke out of heaven and said, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he spoke out of heaven and said, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I like to think of it like this. At the baptism, Jesus had been living in seclusion and privacy, and yet had not yet made his public appearance. And so what God was saying in the baptism, God was saying, I'm well pleased in his private life. For 30 years, God was pleased with his Son. And then he began that itinerant ministry of preaching. And over there on the Mount of Transfiguration, God was saying, I'm pleased with his public life, amen. You may be living the two different lifestyles, but what you are in public, amen, ought to be what you are in private, amen, if you want to be pleasing to God, amen. The witness of the Father. And then there's the witness of the Scriptures. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And they, he said, are they which testify me. I'll tell you, I know he's real, because when I open the pages of his word, of the living word, amen. When I open the pages of the written word, it bears witness, thank God, to the living word, amen. Thank God for that, amen. And then there is the witness of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Isn't it a blessing when you open up the written word and the living Spirit of God that lives within us bears witness with the word of God, bears witness with our heart, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is alive and well, amen. And that he is our Lord. And as Thomas said, he's my God. He's my God. Amen. Thank God for that. And then Jesus told his disciples in John 15:26. He said this. In John 15:27. And he said, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye've been with me from the beginning. So there are seven witnesses in the Gospel of John. And all of this gives us the object of our faith. And it is, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate. And in the book of 1 John, when John was writing again to deal with Gnosticism, he said that the spirit of Antichrist denies, I'm not quoting it exactly, denies that Jesus has come in the flesh. And in the flesh is in the present tense, which means he came. And to us, he came 2,000 years ago in the flesh. He's in the flesh right now in that glorified body. And he will always be in the flesh in that glorified body, past, present, and future. Amen. Jesus is the Son of God, a God manifested, incarnate in the flesh. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Let me say something now. Let's look at, secondly, not only the object of our faith, but let's consider the objective of our faith. You say, what is the objective of our faith? Well, look back in our text in John chapter number 20. He said, but these are written in verse 31 that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and that believing you might have life. So our objective today this is that we are believing that we might have life. Aren't you glad that salvation is not a works? How much would be enough? Aren't you glad that salvation is not dependent on you and I living good enough? Because what sin, what mistake would annul your salvation? But I'm glad, dear friend, listen to me now. Every man is condemned under the law, because all of us are sinners. But there was one man that kept the law in every aspect of it. And friend, Jesus, he went to Calvary as the one that kept the law of God. He satisfied the holy, just demands of God when he went and lived that perfect life. He not only satisfied the law in his life, he satisfied the law in his death. Accursed is everyone that continueth not in all these things which are written therein. And when Jesus bore our sins at Calvary, he was dying under the curse of the law, and he was paying the price to redeem us. And the redemption that Jesus wrought on the cross, it provided the propitiation, which means that his redemption satisfied a holy God concerning our sin and concerning the law. And that propitiation then provided for reconciliation. The only way that God could reconcile sinful men unto himself is that God's holiness and God's standard and God's righteousness must be satisfied. And Jesus satisfied God. I believe I believe that God looked down out of heaven at the cross and said, I'm well pleased in my Son. That is propitiation, God being satisfied. Amen. You say, well, what is now? Let me move on. I'll bog down. I've got to quit. That caution light will come on in a minute. I need to hurry. Let me say this. Let's look at the outcome of our believing. The object of our believing is the Lord Jesus Christ. The objective of our believing is that we might have eternal life through his Son. The outcome of that believing, John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Hallelujah, praise God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
The outcome of believing is John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The outcome is John 6:35. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. The outcome is John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The outcome is John 11:25. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The outcome is 1 John 5:5. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God overcometh the world. Amen. I'm telling you, neighbor, the outcome is being blessed, if you please. Let me say this. Let me get back to that little text and I'll be done. He said, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen. I hadn't seen. I wasn't on the outside. I wasn't on the outside over there on the hillsides when those angels came to those shepherds and said, lo, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they left and they found the babe lying in the... Hey, neighbor, I wasn't there. I never saw that, but I sure believe it. Amen. I wasn't at the temple when Jesus was 12 years old and his teaching astounded a dear friend, the scholars and the men of that day. And they were just astonished at that. I never saw that. I never heard that. But I sure believe that. Amen. I wasn't standing on the banks of Jordan when Jesus and John was down in the river and Jesus coming up out of the water, the Spirit of God descended and lit upon him like a dove. I never saw that. And I never heard what God said. But I believe it today. I didn't have to see it. I believe it today. Amen. I wasn't at the Canaan, at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, at the first miracle Jesus performed when he turned the water into the wine. I never saw the water. I never drank the wine, but I believe it happened. And he's been turning the water of his word into wine in my heart since 1974 when I got born into the family of God. Amen. You listening to me? I wasn't there at the well in Samaria where Jesus converted that Samaritan woman. I told her that she had five husbands, and the one she wasn't married to the man she was with. I wasn't there, friend, but I believe he did just what he said. I wasn't there when the leper came to him and said, thou can heal me if you will. Jesus had compassion on him, put his hand. Have you ever noticed that? Him being a leper, no telling how long it'd been since he'd felt the touch of a human hand. But in that picture, we have the whole story of the gospel, a God condescending and coming down to where we are that are eat up with a leprosy of sin, and God putting his hand over on us, brother. Amen. Oh, that's what God did. He put his hand on us as wretched, a vile, a lepers. Aren't you glad to this morning? I believe he did it. Amen. I wasn't there at the town of Gadara in the cemetery. I wasn't there to see the man that was naked and breaking chains. I wasn't there to see him a little bit later sitting clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus, taking in Bible study. Amen. Whoa, but I believe he did it just like he said. I wasn't there when he touched the blind eyes and opened them. I wasn't there when he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and fed 5,000 beside women and children. But I believe he did it, thank God. I wasn't there, friend, when he raised the widow of Sain's nun from the dead, the widow of Nain, her son from the dead. I wasn't there when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. I wasn't on the outside of that tomb when he said, roll the stone back. Lazarus, come forth. Oh, I'd have loved to have seen that, but it wasn't there. I wasn't there, friend. I wasn't there when he walked on the Sea of Galilee and he spoke peace and calmed the storm. I wasn't there, friend, when they brought him into Pilate's hall. I don't know that I would have wanted to see it, but I wasn't there when they plucked the beard from his face, crowned him with those oak thorns that brought the blood from his brow. I wasn't there when when they wrapped him around that a whipping post and beat the flesh off of his back. I wasn't there when they put his cross on him and carried him outside the city. And he began to no doubt stumble under that load, and they picked the cross up and put it on him. I wasn't there when they took him out to Golgotha. I never saw him nail his hands. I never saw him lift him up on the cross. I never heard, dear friend, all the conversation and the seven sayings from the cross. But you're looking at somebody this morning that sure believes that Jesus died for sinners. You're looking at somebody that believes, and because I believe and have not seen, I am blessed. Amen. I wasn't there early that first day of the week when the ladies went to the tomb and they were wondering who's going to roll the stone back. I never saw the angel. I never heard the angel. I never saw it. I've been to Israel a few times, took groups over there, and I've been in that tomb like somebody was talking about several times. Oh, but friend, I didn't go over there to find out if he was alive or not. Matter of fact, he rode with me on the plane over there. Amen. I knew he wasn't going to be in there because he is on the plane. Amen. You hear me? Oh, I believe, friend. But let me tell you this. Listen, friend, I can't peer into the heavens and I can't see what's going on up there. But I believe that seated at the Father's right hand, there is the God-man. There is a friend, the Son of David, the Son of Man. A friend, there's the Son of God. He's our great high priest. He's our advocate. He's making intercession for us. Amen. Oh, listen. But let me tell you what I have seen. I was a 17-year-old teenager dating that woman back there that I found to be my wife. I was dating her. I was living in Dawson County, Georgia. She was living in Murphy, North Carolina. That's where I'm originally from. My folks moved to Georgia when I was a little boy, and I was driving an hour and a half to date her. It was worth the day, man. She's been a good spouse since 1976. Amen. Good preacher's wife. But let me say this. This is what I have saw. A friend, I never saw him raise the dead, but there was a little dead 17-year-old teenager sitting in the Hopewell Baptist Church on a Sunday night, and I saw God raise the dead. Amen. It was this man that was dead. I never saw him open literal eyes and unstopped literal ears, but I'd never perceived the things of God. I cared nothing about hearing the things of God, but on that night, he opened these eyes and he opened these ears. Amen. These hands and these feet, a friend, were running in the ways of sin and mischief and all of that stuff. But it's just like when like the man over there at the pool of Siloam that Jesus raised him up. He'd been lame for 38 years. I'd been lame for 17 years, not able to walk spiritually. But for 40, listen now, for almost 40 years this coming September, these feet are the feet of the gospel preacher that's carrying the good news of the Word of God. I believe and I am blessed, thank God. I wasn't there when he fed that multitude, but I've seen him take the few bread and the few fishes in my life and my wife's family life. I've seen God to provide for us when it seemed like there was no other way. Aren't you glad that you believe today? That if thou shalt confess with thy heart and believe, or shalt confess with thy mouth and believe with thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Jump on down a few verses. How then shall they believe in him of whom they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You and I, as men of God, we are the voice that God is using to tell people about Jesus, that they might believe and be born into the family of God. Amen.